We've been seeking the Lord to go low. Praise the Here. I thought I lost. Thank you, Annelies. This is why we are a body. In the moment, I lost it, but I found it. Thank you, Annelies. Now I have peace. Now I can preach. Thank you, Jesus. Long story short, we've been trying to go low as Christ did. The premise of the theme and the series I've been doing was mainly this. When we say we're Christians, we want to follow Christ. When we say we're disciples, we want to do and we want to be and we want to live the way He did that. Not in some sub Christian way and culture. But to try to steer back, to always head back to the gospel as if we're following Christ daily, which we are. And so why are we saying go low, and why we I believe that maybe the Spirit is just hammering on that in love, is to say, hey, if you truly want to be Christian, this is the way in which Christ had walked, and this is why, and this is how we should follow. And so we've had, I think, what was it, 7 sermons about going low. I'm not going to repeat all of them. You can go and listen to it. But the bottom line is that Christ came as a humble king and a humble servant, knowing who He was. And so likewise, He's calling us and saying, hey, Chris, are you willing to go low? Are you on? Are you willing to go low as I have gone low? Who's been challenged by going low this last couple of weeks? We get challenged. Yeah, it's counterintuitive to the flesh to go low and not give the world a piece of your own mind, or not to look out for yourself and for your own well-being firstly and foremostly. So I've been challenged by it. I'm going to pray for us, and today we're going to do the last segment. Obviously, this is not going to stop. This is something that's biblical and something that we've been called to do for the rest of our lives, to have an attitude of going low, to loving others as we love ourselves, to esteem others as higher as ourselves. I often struggle with that, especially in my own home. Here, it's kind of easier. But where the cookie crumbles or where the tikkie die teer slaan, is it always not always that easy. But the Holy Spirit will help us. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that we stand on your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word changes us through your Holy Spirit and power. Not the jabber of man, but the Spirit and power through the holy word of God. And that I ask for today. That I ask for us, Lord. As we sow these seeds in the Spirit, thank you, it will reap a harvest, a go-low harvest, a Christ-like one, that we can truly call ourselves Christians and disciples, not in a self-righteous way, but in a way in which we truly follow hard after Him and also bear His fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. The second, 2 weeks ago, I said there's 2 legs to this last segment, and that is to love is to listen. To say, hey, Amber, how are you doing? And truly listen. To listen when somebody is speaking and to have an ear and a heart that really cares. Who's ever been in a conversation, they're like, hi, hoe gaan het? Goed, dankie, nee. How are you doing? I'm well, thanks, and you? And you get into the conversation 3 minutes down and you can hardly remember exactly what the person has been saying. Richard says, yes. Thanks for the honesty, Richard. I really appreciate that. It's inspiring. But it's true. It happens. And so we said to one another, hey, we need to, if we really want to love, we really need to listen. What is it? And Christ even listened further. Emma might say something that she needs in this moment, where Christ has the ability to hear what lies behind that. That's the real problem. And so we've been called as Christians also to listen like that. You can go and listen to the sermon, but this week we're filling the other leg. We're doing the other leg. Matthew 22 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then it also says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so there's a listen to your neighbor, and then there's a listen love to God. And today I believe we just need to look at that key as we end off this series. Go low, key 8 is very simply this. Listen to God. Who likes listening to God? Who's ever found it difficult to listen to God? Who knows that there's a difference between listening and hearing? It's one thing to listen to God. It's a different thing to hear Him so that you can listen. Am I right? Again, we do as Christ did. Christ did the following in John 12:49. He says, "For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command as to what I should say and what I should speak." Not only in saying, but in doing. Christ only did as he saw the Father doing. So there was this amazing relational element, if I may. Amber, just hark in. He was just constantly doing it with his Father. There was such, thank you, such a beautiful way in which he worked with his dad and just hearing, what should I say? Checking, what should I do? And we're called into that place as Christians. Not having cool ideas. Not having cool creative ideas, but just saying, hey, Father God, what are you doing? Because I want to do that. And so that's why we're following hard after the Lord. There's two quotes that I put up there. One, the first one says, God speaks to those who take time to listen. And he listens to those who take time to pray. Boom. The word time there is quite important. We met with somebody in this week and he just said, ultimately, you know what? What people do with their time or what they do with their money actually just shows what's going on in their hearts. I'm like, okay, I'm taking that home. But for me to hear from the Lord and to say, hey, as a church, we should really hear the Lord's voice and we actively pursue God's voice, it'll take time. It will take of our time. Who's ever seen that? Who's also noted that maybe we're in a culture where I like a quick cup of coffee. Good, quick cup of coffee. Vida, double flat white with almond milk. And it's quick. I love it. I like a quick dinner. You can ask Edna. We don't have time to prepare dinner for too long. Or some people in ministry actually like cook stuff on Sundays for the whole week. Have you ever heard of such thing? No. We have it quick. Maybe not that healthy, but we have it quick. Who likes to make a quick buck? Let's be honest. Who likes to make a quick buck? Three of you. I'll have the rest. Quick buck then. No, we like stuff pretty quickly. But who's ever noted that those things that you wait for is really of value and worth? Who's ever been in love? Richard. Hallelujah. Nog steeds. Well done. Thank you. No, sit hier op die spot. But there's a place where there's a pursuing. There's a value of pursuing and taking time and making effort and putting the best foot forward and all that nice thing, opening up a car door. I even struggle to say it, let alone remember it. Jesus, help me. And going out of your way for that which you value, for that which is an absolute priority to you. And so, I guess, such is the voice of the Lord in my life. I want to ask you, how valuable is the voice of God in your life? And do you realize that sometimes we need to, I'm not going to do it like Petri now, I might later, but flat on your stomach, just go low if you really want to hear the voice of God. He's not stubborn, but he knows the value of his presence and his voice to us. He doesn't flash it on billboards, it's not on Facebook too much. You might think it's all of your posts, but it might not be. He's not flashy. He doesn't flaunt himself to the world. In fact, he hides often that which is valuable. He teaches us that through nature. If you look at gold and diamonds and things, it's not things, it's things that are hidden. And likewise, I believe, is the voice of God. How important is the voice of God in your life? I could honestly say, I cannot, if you tell me you should take away the voice of God in my life, it would be as if you say, you'll take away my breath. You can ask Edna. I will not be able to live. How far and how much can you live without the voice of God? The second quote there is, the quieter you become, the more you can hear. Who's ever had that? Who's ever experienced that? The quieter you become, the more you can hear. But it is a challenge. I must say, it's a challenge to get quiet in this lifetime. Even a long weekend, you think, oh, it's a mountain of rest. And you get in there, but kids with runny noses, wife and I are a bit tired, there's still dishes. And after that, guess what? There's still dishes. And you don't fight. In fact, everybody's gone on a long weekend, but the devil doesn't. He doesn't go on long weekends. And so you need to make time to quiet down your soul, to hear from Him. There we looked at what hearing and listening is the last time. I'm just going to read. You can go the next slide, please. Just quickly, because this is applicable. The next slide. Thank you. Thank you, guys. You were hearing, but not listening. But I thank you that you did listen. I appreciate that. Hearing is simply the act of perceiving sound by the ear. If you are not hearing impaired, hearing simply happens. Listening, however, is something you consciously choose to do. Listening requires concentration so that your brain processes the meaning of the words and sentences. And so, obviously, God's word does not always come. It has come, but it does not necessarily generally come audibly. But still, it comes into your spirit. And likewise, you need to take a conscious decision. You need to be present, as Edna said a couple of weeks back, to hear what he's saying. I often notice people come into church and they leave church, but I don't necessarily see that they've had a moment of hearing and listening. Maybe a moment of hearing, but not one of listening. And so we need to train ourselves and put ourselves in a go-low position to hear. Point 3 is listen to love. Now, quickly to give perspective so that you know when you read Scripture how to interpret. There's a couple of dispensations in the Word. We actually did a whole series, I remember, on the voice of the Lord in 2014. And some of this I just took out there just to remind ourselves, when you read the Old Testament, when you read about Adam, when you read about Abram, how does that differ from the way in which God speaks to Paul? And when he speaks to Paul, how does it speak to me? How is it applicable? And so you may need to make sure of your footing, your foundation, or the dispensation the Lord has been talking about. Now, God has forever been talking to His people, right? Has God talked to you? Have you ever heard His voice? Yes, we all have. And so God speaks, but there's different ways in which He's spoken to us. You can go to the next slide, please. The first dispensation was the dispensation of the patriarchs. In other words, He was operating through the father, or the father figure in the families, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He dealt with them personally. So you always read in the Old Testament, He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, referring. Now that was a dispensation where He would then speak to Abram. Abram will take His whole family, and through Abram He will speak to His people. Who's ever noted that still people are sometimes still stuck in that dispensation? Thinking that He only speaks to that guy, and through that guy He needs to speak to everybody else. It's not the truth. There is a place for corporate speaking and leading and obviously structure, etc., but we can get to that at another stage. Second dispensation was the one just after that of Israel under the law. And here He said, okay, cool, I'm not speaking to everybody, but I'm speaking to my people. I'm speaking to Israel. And yes, today He's still speaking to Israel. Absolutely. But in that dispensation, His voice was only heard by this people. Today it is for us a picture of the way in which He spoke there. Some people might even be stuck in the place where they think He's still only speaking to Israel, which is not a gospel truth. And then the third dispensation is the dispensation of the gospel. Hear the proclamation to the whole human race. Praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Never mind your race or nationality. It's a dispensation of gospel. Here it requires each individual. Quickly say, each individual. Yes. An individual response to His voice. Now, I can't hide under Father Abram. I can't just say I'm with Israel. But He's saying, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. My voice is there for you. If you heed and actually listen, I'm speaking to you. Am I going to be accountable for what Eleanor's heard from God through her life one day before Him? Maybe in the context of pastoring, yes, there would be. If God had spoken to me to go and help, and I didn't, yes, then there is. But for her personal, hearing the voice of the Lord, being obedient, walking out her calling, working out her calling, as the Word says, with fear and trembling, it's not on my hands. And likewise, praise God, neither is hers on mine. The flip side is, as a parent, I would have loved to know that whatever I does with the Lord is automatically 100% for my children as well, and only hear from them, and they just follow. But they will have to make their own decision. They will have to hear for themselves. It's tough, especially for a pastor dad, because that's your first and foremost, that's my first place of ministry. It's sometimes also the toughest because they can't serve my, yes, they're going to serve my God, but they can't only serve my God through me. They need to meet him for themselves. And so that's the dispensation where we at the moment, and each of us need to take responsibility. God's people can hear God's voice. Very simple statement. God's people can hear God's voice. Don't know why, but I just sense, do you have a hunger to hear God's voice? Do you have a hunger? If not, it's not a problem, by the way. I think maybe a day like today is just to take an honest look and say, Lord, I don't have a hunger to hear your voice. I'm just being honest. God is not freaked out, because guess what? He knows it. But it's just to say, Lord, what is hindering? I saw in worship, I was just thinking, just think of all the gutters and pipes that was flushed clean this week. Okay, a lot of them clogged up and it took Mercedes Benz's with it, but there was debris and takke and blare and hare everywhere, clogging up the systems, and then big rains came and it just washed it clean. And sometimes we, maybe hurt, rejection, maybe disappointment, around God's voice and intimacy with the Lord, even in a church setup or church type of scenario, maybe have clogged up your system by thinking, now, well, I don't really want to hear the Lord's voice. I'll just be going on my own here. Thank you very much. But then he comes with his spirit. He comes graciously with his love, and I believe he washes clean. He just flushes our system, and that's what I'm also trusting for, that we realize, wow, why is it important? Do you know that there was a 400 years of silence in the Word. Did you know that? Between Malachi and the New Testament, there was 400 years that nobody heard the voice of God, the Rhema voice of God. Guys, do you realize, I wish I could pinch you, but you'll probably take me to some commission, but I won't pinch you. But be pinched emotionally. Let's wake up. Do you realize in what era, what dispensation, one time period you are living? Imagine you had to follow a guy who said he heard from God that he should pack up and go, not even knowing what side of town he should leave by. There's people that died in that process of Abram hearing and following God. Are you hearing me? Do you remember Moses, Numbers 16? Anointing, hearing of the God and his leaders coming to you saying, who do you think you are? Having this massive rebellion. Why do you hear from God? That's what God decided in that season. And just imagine those 400 years. They totally went off track in those 400 years. They did not heed to what they knew from the Word prior to that even. And so it was really not a nice time to live in. You just, by the by, just lived in that time. Never heard God's voice. Guys, we are in a very, very privileged time. You can, through Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, daily, if you take out the time, if you go low, if you humble yourself and wait upon Him, you can hear His Rhema voice through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, into your spirit, through the gathering of the saints and the brothers and sisters next to you, through worship, through nature. Can He speak into your life? Do you have any idea how privileged you are? You might be thinking other people are in Hartenbosch this weekend. Never mind Hartenbosch. You live in a dispensation when you can hear the voice of God. Lord, wreck us to realize what we have in a very nice, godly way, Lord. I'm just waking up myself now as I'm just saying this. I need God's voice to know how I'm going to finish this whole sermon with the time. But anyway, there's an example we've looked at 4 years ago, and I'm quickly just going to look at it because I believe there's nuggets, there's principles that we can take out when it comes to hearing God's voice. We all know, we all agree, we are in a very fortunate dispensation. Say amen. Amen. Let's go to Samuel's call. Let's quickly learn something from Samuel in the Old Testament. Obviously, an other dispensation, but still, we can take the nuggets and use it in the gospel dispensation today, where God speaks to us all individually. And guess what? Just by the way, just as an ad, He doesn't only speak to you individually. Because that's not a full picture of the body either. That's not the full picture of his counsel either. He does not only speak to Yohanan and only Yohanan. Because you know what? Then things get cockeye to the one side as well. It gets ill-balanced. That's why he'll use Tia to speak into my life. He used Yohanan the other day beautifully. Wasn't easy, but beautifully to speak into my life over a coffee. That was God's word. I needed to hear it in the way in which he could, and he could alone give it to me. So yes, he speaks to us individually, but also remember, he uses his body. Guess what? It's again a matter of humility. Who likes your own opinion? Who loves the opinion of everybody else? Exactly. That's why God does it. The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. Just stop there again. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. Here, in this morning, we had massive amount of blessing in prophetic vision and inpouring of the Spirit and baptism of the Spirit and the Lord speaking to us. Just in this moment, there were times where it was rare. One day, Eli, is it Eli in English? I read Eli when I prepare, but that's not right. Eli, whose eyesight was failing, was lying in his room before the lamp of God had gone out. Samuel was lying down in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of the God was located. Then the Lord called Samuel. He answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me. I didn't call you." Eli replied, "Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Once again the Lord called. Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me. I didn't call you, my son." He replied, "Go back and lie down." Now Samuel had not yet experienced the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Lord, please reveal your word and your voice to us. Once again, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy. He told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he tells you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came, stood there, and called, as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel responded, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "I'm about to do something in Israel that everyone who hears about it will shudder." And then he goes on, and he's quite mad at Eli and his children, his family, who desecrated the sanctuary and didn't do what they were told. And Eli didn't stand in the gap. He didn't discipline his sons. And we're not going to get into that detail of the story today, but it's quite interesting to go and read. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he fulfilled everything Samuel prophesied. All Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a confirmed prophet of the Lord. Now, Samuel was a son in those days, obviously, of Hannah. Hannah couldn't have children, and so she said, "Lord, please give me a son, and if you give me a child, I will consecrate, dedicate, give my child to you." And she did exactly that. She got pregnant, she got a son, Samuel, and then Samuel, by the word, means God has heard. And the moment he was weaned, that's after breastfeeding, that's weaned, that's kind of small. How old is a kid? But not like 16. That's just weird. How old? Let's open up a can of worms. How old? 5. Okay, 5 is good. But still, that's very young to give your child to the priest to go work for the rest of his life for the Lord. Just imagine that, the consecration. And she did that. And then he was then obviously mentored, discipled by Eli in the process. And that's just the background. What is beautiful for me here is just a couple of things that stood out. Firstly, Samuel had to hear the Lord's voice and he had to get to know the Lord's voice. Who of us, I think everybody would agree that we've all grown in hearing the Lord's voice. And I'm forever growing. The more I think I hear the Lord's voice, almost the more careful and more humble you need to become. The more childlike you need to become. The more transparent and accountable, in my case, I need to become. Just to make sure this is actually what the Lord is doing. Now, what I see with Samuel, the first thing that to hear the Lord's voice is that he was positioned. And today I want to say, are you positioned right? Are you positioning yourself to hear the Lord's voice? It doesn't mean sit down, stand still, or anything, but are you positioning your heart to hear the Lord? How was he positioned? He was consecrated. He gave his life. In fact, he didn't even choose. His mother gave his life. But it was God's plan. We know that. And so he was positioned. He was positioned to hear from the Lord. His life was consecrated and dedicated to hear. There was a good reason for wanting to hear from the Lord. You know, Mary and Martha, do you remember the story of Mary and Martha? Who heard from the Lord? Who had the best portion? Mary, why? She sat at his feet. Please edit that out. That wouldn't help in hearing. She sat at his feet. Please pray in tongues, Edna, before I embarrass you again. She sat at Jesus' feet. There was a positioning that Samuel did daily. Daily was in the position, and for a number of years, because he was older here, he didn't hear. But then the Lord came and he spoke. Second thing is, he was humble. I think the main thing of going low is, we need to be humble. Who's humble in and of themselves? Exactly, not. The moment you think you're humble, you're probably not. And so he was humble. He was willing to be taught. He was teachable. I want to ask you, are you teachable? Not teachable by the pastor per se, might include it. But are we teachable when people want to speak into our lives and we speak into other people's lives? Are we teachable and willing to hear? He was humble. There was a humility in going back three times. Imagine a teenager lying in his room on his iPad or smartphone and Eleanor calls, "Hey, Pity." "Yes." Not that it's like that in your house. It's just an example. What's the chances of getting up and running, putting down the Game Boy and whatever and saying, "Yes, you've called me." And not even doing it once, doing it twice, three times. This is a miracle kid. Getting up, getting out of his room and going to Eli and saying, "Yes, you've called me." It's a freaking miracle. And so humility is needed to hear the voice of the Lord. Speak for your cool teenagers listening. No, speak for your servant is listening. I need a servant heart. Because God is constantly speaking. The bottom line is I'm just not hearing. I need to hear to listen, but for that I need to check my heart. I need the word to daily come and cut between bone and marrow. Come and judge my heart in love and change me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I need to daily check my heart. I need to daily, like David, say, "Lord, here's my heart. Check it, please. Check it, constantly check it. If things go well, Lord, check it. If things are in dire straits, Lord, please check it. Lord, check it." I actually, last night, there was something bugging me. I said, "Lord, please give me a dream." He gave me a very clear dream about the thing I've asked him. But now I need to do something with it. I'm thankful. James 4:6 says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." God does not share his voice too often with the pride of this world. Why do more than half of the world not believe in God and believe in his voice? Because they do not want to go on one knee. They don't want to bow their knee. They don't want to confess with their tongue. And so, Lord, may we be like Samuel, humble in hearing your voice. Let's go on to the third one. There was a purpose or a goal. There was a God goal in him speaking to him. It was just not to say, "Ach, Samuel, you're so cute. Here's just an open heaven anointing for you because you're so stunning." No, there was a reason for speaking. Is all of God speaking to us about jobs to do and mandates? No, there's a relational element. When there's a hurt, in Johann's heart, God will come and sovereignly just speak into it. And he will attend to the relationship. But if it's all about me, myself, and I in the prophetic and God's voice, again, there's an ill balance. You want to hear God's voice? Partner with the Great Commission. You'll hear Him clearly. You want to hear God's voice? Partner with the gospel. You'll hear Him clearly. You want to hear the Lord's voice? Say, Jesus, I want to be a true disciple. Not how my church does it, or this group, or that crowd, or this cute DVD, or that series. I want to be a disciple of Christ. You will hear Him. If you partner with His goals and purposes, you will hear Him. But I'm not knocking. I'm not saying that there's a relational element to it. I once stood in the queue in Spar in Malmesbury. And there was a lady or somebody in front of me. I can't remember exactly. Maybe not the well-to-do and a wealthy, rich, strong, cool person in town. Just the average Joe person standing before me. And I just sensed, Lord, do you have something to say for them? And I clearly remember God saying to me, ek het vir almal iets te sê. And it's not like a piece of my mind to say, but I want to share who I am with everyone who is willing to heed to my voice, who is willing to come and listen on my terms, not the flesh's terms. But in that moment, I just so realized for everybody here, everybody you see in the shop, at the garage, on the streets, wherever you go, God has got something to say. His voice wants to bless everybody. So there was a goal and a purpose. Fourth thing, he was faithful. He was faithful. We didn't go into that nuts and bolts of the story, but he got actually a rebuke that he had to give to Eli. Now imagine, he was being mentored by him. He was being schooled by him. This was his guru. Yet God speaks to him for the first time, gives him a major rebuke that he needs to pass on. And what does he do? If you go read the story, he goes and he tells it exactly. He was actually scared, but he goes and he tells it exactly as the Lord gave it to him. He was faithful. And because of that first time that he was faithful, he then grew. And the scripture tells us that none of his words ever fell to the ground. He was known as a prophet. He was faithful with the little. He was faithful with a tough word. The voice of the Lord might call you into uncomfortable territory. Ask me. I think I'm in it. It calls you into a place where you literally are between a rock and a hard place. It calls you into a place where the fear of man needs to bow down to the fear of God for you to be faithful for what the voice of the Lord is leading you to do. So he was faithful. We can learn that from him. Second last thing that we can learn from him is, I said, yes, searching, knocking, asking. He was positioned low, he was humble, he was teachable. And then he went back three times in this pursuit of getting to know, what is this? What is going on? And I guess the challenge to us is, are you willing to knock, to seek? Who needs God's counsel on any topic at the moment? Whoever needs that constantly in every season of their lives? Me, absolutely. But I believe there's a place where you need to ask, where you need to seek, where you need to knock. There's this time when you're in love, and still are, in love, where you keep on knocking, seeking, and asking. For that which is a priority, you will keep on knocking, seeking, asking. And I want through the Spirit for the Lord just to come in and stir in us, just the heart afresh. Thank you, Lord, just for healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for healing. Thank you, Lord, for whatever false yokes and burdens of this last season, that you will break it off, and through your anointing, you will bring healing. Lord, through your voice, come and speak to Edna and heal her body, Lord, soul and spirit, Lord, so that she can just be a clear conduit for you and for your people, Father God, in Jesus' name. Give rest and peace to her body, and we ask as a community for instant healing in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You got your healing, but I lost my train of thought. Matthew 7:7-8 says, keep asking and it will be given to you. Oh, I've learned this. God gave me a word 8 years back. I never knew how much I would knock, seek, and ask. Who's ever had those beautiful promises? Those seeds that are, it's perfect. You can smell it and see it, yet there's a knocking. There's a seeking. There's an asking. Near Moni. Nie nag nie, but it's a battle. There's a battle around the prophetic word and the prophetic heart and the voice of God. Anyway, back to scripture. Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be open. One of my favorites, Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. Have you ever searched out something with the Lord and then found the answer? Then the revelation just comes to you. How sweet is that moment? Even if it took years, even if it took seasons, how sweet is that moment? Revelation 3:20 says, and this is the flip side where Christ actually calls, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Here he shows us, this is what I do. And everyone hears my voice and opens the door. I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Lastly, what do we learn from old Sam? Sam had to grow himself. He was a prophet, yet he had to grow in the voice of the Lord. I think sometimes we give up too quickly. We don't want to knock, seek, and ask. Maybe we don't have the time to wait, and then we don't grow in this. I want us not to be perfect around hearing the voice of the God in this place, but I want us to take risks and have a safe space where we can learn, and then also speak to one another and say, hey, what did you really sense there? Let's have a safe space where we can grow in hearing from the Lord. Let's also give each other the grace to hear from the Lord and to speak into our lives. So there was a growing part that Samuel had to do. Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. And he fulfilled everything Samuel prophesied. I'd said this before, but Frida did not recognize my voice probably the first 3 months in my house. Yet today, if I should stand here and she's out in the courtyard, and if I say Frida in a certain way loud enough, she will know who is talking. Why? Because she has spent time with me. She's grown in hearing my voice. Why? Because of moments after moments after moments of intimacy. Doing stuff together, doing life together. God wants to do life with you, that you clearly, when it comes to the big decisions in your life, you just know. I said it before, but I stood in Malmesbury in that financial weird season we were in, like having 100 rand 15th of the month, standing in Spar, saying, Lord, what can I buy? Is it really about Vianas? Is it really about the amount of money? No, it's about getting to know him. And I'll actually then buy Moor coffee. Can you believe it? Yes. Because God had led me. Some people might say, but that's stupidity. You know what? He uses the foolish things of this world to despise the wise. I'd rather be a fool with 100 rand not knowing what to buy in Spar in Malmesbury than thinking I'm a know-it-all. Lord, have mercy on me. And in that moment, what did it teach me? It taught me to get to know his voice. That when he asks me bigger things one day, that I was like, yes, I know. That's his thing, but for me, the moor coffee laat koop het. He kent it. Don't quote me on this one. It sounds a bit weird, but I think you get the heart. I'm going to end off with 4 quick things, really quick things. Why his voice? As we wrap this up, going low, saying, let's be a humble people, let's go low as Christ. Why is God's voice important? I believe these are 4 things. Yes, we've said to one another, make time, wait, deem it important to have his voice. But these are the 4 things from Scripture why I believe God's voice is important, why it's important to go low and seek his voice daily to get to know him. First one is, guess what? God's voice is life. Guys, I was so lost. I can't, because I'm not that person anymore, but I could have explained to you how lost I was if it was not for people speaking God's prophetic vision and calling an identity over me when I was broken. Want ek soos 'n twek soos 'n gemors gevoel het. Het God gekom met sy stem en hy het waarheid gespreek. He came with his voice and he just spoke clearly, spoke truth into my life. His voice gave me life when I was in an absolute mess. I will for eternity be thankful for the voice of my God. And ever since, I've seen it in other people's life, and I want to see it more and more and more. A dad speaking into what seems like messes, but are not. I want to see that more. So firstly, it is life. Matthew 4:4 says, it is written, man shall not live of bread alone, but of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yes, that includes the Logos, but this word here actually says the Rhema word. What is Rhema? We don't have time for that. We've dealt with it before, but Rhema is just when it's illuminated.
Say that again. Illuminated.
Illuminated, yes, highlighted. When it jumps at you. Who's ever read scripture and it jumps out at you? Who's ever listened to a secular song and it jumps out at you? And it's actually God speaking through a secular song? Can you believe it? Yes, he does that. Once, Demi, once. No, I'm just joking. But it's that bread that you needed, that you're going hungry. You can eat as much as you want naturally, but your soul is hungry until he comes and speaks. You're accepted. By the way, the Lord's got amazing plans for your life. I just sensed this morning. Really amazing plans for your life. Just saw like a cocoon. Out of which a butterfly comes. One of those I saw for you. But I believe there's a time where God's going to take the frustration and he's going to bring something amazing. A great freedom. Anyway, don't know which areas, but he'll bring a great freedom. So Lord, thank you for protection for my sister. But in that moment, as she tests that, she's like, this is bread. I needed that. I'm hungry. This is bread. It's God's voice speaking to me. It's bread. Why do we need God's voice? Because it is life. I will die without God's voice. And guess what? You too. Some of us just operate malnourished for too long. I do it neither physically nor spiritually. Second reason why we need God's voice, it is relationship. As I said, with the times you have with your kid, as they get to know you, you get to know the voice. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. They know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Relationship are built as we get to know the voice of Christ, our shepherd. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Elsewhere it says, my sheep will know my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. Guys, I've seen it lately, unfortunately, there's lots of voices. There's lots of voices, cultural voices, not very spiritual even, cultural voices that seem good to a man, but the road leads to destruction. There's strangers talking to God's people. This culturally, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Constantly just talking, they're strangers. But we need to come back to discern again the voice of the shepherd. It doesn't always seem like the lekker pad. It's not the cool pad. But it's not the one that leads to destruction. I believe this is prophetic. And I say this humbly. But the voice of a stranger is trying to lure a lot of sheep away in our culture. And we ask for the grace of God that we come back and we take, not for granted, but we take seriously the voice of our shepherd. He leads. He's got a still small voice through his spirit. Let's heed to that. Second last thing that why we need the voice of God, it gives faith. Who ever struggles with a lack of faith? Man, you need, boom, one word. This weekend, let's be vulnerable. Everybody's going away this weekend. Everybody that would have done this, that, or the other in church is going away. And it's a long weekend. I understand. But so you think like, Lord, what? You just feel like this pressure all through the week. And I'm like, Lord, come on. My heart is in the wrong place. My mind is in the wrong place concerning Sunday. Please talk to me. And boom, then he shows me a picture. He gives me a vision. He shows me how it will be. Faith arises. Faith arises. Faith arises. And God is blessed today. I know that. Sorry, I'm not telling you. You can decide for yourself through the Spirit. But I know God is blessed today because he has spoken. But I had to go hear from himself because I didn't have all the faith because nobody could do what they usually do. But God is ever present, even on long weekends. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, I know we always refer back to the Logos, but that word, if you go look, Strong's definition is a rhema word. Faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the rhema word of God. What is he rhema-ing in your heart? If you see a mountain, just say, Lord, come, come, speak. And he shows you a picture of you on the other side of that mountain. He shows you the Red Sea that is parting. He brings a word through somebody prophetically, and you just know, I can go. I can go ahead. Faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the voice of God, if I may say it so. Whatever you're facing, ask God's opinion. Ask God's opinion. Lord, what are you saying? And if you're struggling, because sometimes emotionally we get entangled. Edna's got an area in her life where emotionally she struggles to hear God's voice sometimes. But I can come and then speak into that. There's areas in my life where sometimes I struggle a bit because I've got hurt in an area. And then God uses her again to speak clarity. Say, no, 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 this is what God is saying. Boom, faith. For the righteous shall live by faith. That's our only petrol. We don't have any other. And the last one is, his voice gives future. Why is it important to hear God's voice? You want a future? You want truly want a future? God's voice gives my future. God's voice gives the future of my family. God's voice gives the future of this church. God's voice wants to give your future. God's voice will lead you into his future for your life. I still have many things to say to you. Me too, by the way. But I can't. But I can't either. But you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own and his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. Oh, Jesus, how much I've needed that. How much and how many times I've needed that. Then you face a darkness, you face a challenge, you face a rock, between a rock and a hard place, and you don't have the answer. Yet the Spirit comes and says, this is the future. This is it. This is it. Many times, say there's a tough Sunday in the Spirit, or even if I go to different places where I preach, and you're like, this is new territory, this is new ground, this is a new battle. I've learned one thing from the Lord. I say, Lord, how was it beforehand? In other words, on a Friday, I will ask the Lord, how was the service and how was the sermon? How did it go? And he will tell me, because he has been in Sunday before. I hope I'm not losing you in this moment. God is not bound to my time. God is not bound to my currency and my economy in this world. God is not bound, guys. He knows the end from the beginning. So I'll look into something tough that lies before me and I'll ask him, how did this end? And boom, he'll just show me and give me faith. Not always, but mostly when I do. So I wanted to say, ask God's voice to tell you about the things that you're facing now. Lord, speak to me about that thing. Sometimes he'll show you the end. He'll show you, this is my end for it. And then you need to call it forth. You need to take it. You need to take it. This is what God says. That sickness will not end in death. Christ did it all the time. He's asleep. He's asleep. Christ knew. He knew. He's only asleep. People will laugh you off, guys. If you listen to the voice of the Lord in accountability, transparency, in humility, it's confirmed by other people. Other people will still laugh you off. Will you stand with me, please? Lord, I want to shout. I want to shout, Lord. I want to shout. I just want to shout of thankfulness, of the grace of your voice through your Spirit because of what your Son has done. For the grace that you will speak to us as children, that we have the Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just come and wrap this up. Thank you for all the seeds that you've sown in this series, but also today. We ask that it will heal the harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold. If you struggle to stop, If you just struggle to stop, to hit the pause, to take time out, to gather your thoughts, and then to listen with the Lord, and you would just say, Lord, I want to be honest, I need that. Just raise your hand, we're going to just simply pray. I need that. Just to hit the stop button, the pause button, to truly take time out. Sometimes it might be 10 minutes, but sometimes God will call you into 3 days of waiting. Lord, you see these hands? Lord, afresh we just come and ask, Lord, through your Spirit, that you will just grant us the grace to take out moments. Lord, you know our schedules and agendas, Lord, and you're gracious, I know. I've seen how I think something will take long and you do it in half a minute, Lord. You just give a download for a sermon in half a minute. And I know what you want to say. So it need not take days, but thank you as we raise our hands in humility. We just say, Lord, give us the grace to be reminded, to stop, to wait, and to be empowered by your voice, to be loved on by your voice. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Help us to listen. And then I just simply want to pray for these four things. And if you want prayer for that, if you need bread, His Word as bread to live on, if you need relationship and to grow and to hear the sheep's voice and to also discern the stranger's voices, the fake. And if you need faith through God's voice empowering you, as the Scripture says. And lastly, if you want a future that God has for you through His voice, those four things, just raise your hand. We're just simply going to pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we just come and say, thank you, Lord, that you give a relationship through your voice, Lord, that we will get to know your still small voice. You do not shout. You do not raise your voice in anger, Lord. You lead. You do not drive. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, we need faith. Thank you that you stir up faith in our hearts through the speaking Rhema words in the way in which we can hear you, not how Retief hears you or Edna or Tia, but how you individually speaks to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for faith, Lord. Thank you for relationship. Thank you for life. And thank you for a future. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then this morning or last night, I just sensed to throw in one in there. There's people that are facing, worldly speaking, impossibilities. Worldly speaking, you're facing impossibilities. Just with all eyes closed, please. Just to respect each other. Just with all eyes closed, you are facing impossibilities, seemingly impossible things, but God wants to speak into it. If you just want to raise your hand. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Deep cries unto deep, Lord. Lord, you see these hands? And we just ask God, speak into it. Speak into these situations. Speak into these hearts. Speak into these spirits. Speak into whatever physically and materially needs to take place and transpire. Speak into it, Father. Speak into it. This is who you are, Lord. This is who you are. Speak into it, Lord. Speak into it. Speak into it. Speak into it. Thank you, Lord, that the rocks will give water, will break open, burst forth with the water of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the Red Seas will part. Thank you, Father, that the mountains will end up in the sea. Thank you, God, for speaking into seemingly impossible things, because what is impossible with man is possible with God. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And we speak and prophesy into these situations in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. We plead the blood of Christ over this. We know that you've moved and we thank you for that. In anticipation with thanksgiving, we now say thank you and receive whatever you have done and spoken into being and will speak into being in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I know it's done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sure. Ek is bly ons die gaan kamp nie. Guys, enjoy your coffee. God bless your week and we see you next week.